Welcome to Agent's Dossier, a Delta Green actual play series brought to you by 12 Sided Stories. And now your GM, Wes Otis.
And welcome to Agents Dossier, episode number 27. My name is Wes Otis. I have some wonderful players with us. Let us start with Pooja.
Hello, I am Pooja. She, her. I will be playing, as you know, improbable as it is that she survived all of this, Robin Porter.
Hey, y'all. I am Mac, and I am going to be playing Wanda Sims.
Hello, I am playing Norman Morales, and he's been away for a minute, so let's see what he gets up to.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and I'm playing Yesenia Alvarez, and it's a miracle she survived too. Boy, howdy.
And holy shit, we survived is a great segue into a recap. Basically, what happened in the last episode was we had finished a harrowing operation in Tillsdale, Idaho. You all escaped this small town that had been infected by what you believe was a ghoul cult, and you exploded a house with a propane tank. And you escaped, but you all were damaged in one way or another. Yesenia was damaged the most by bullets and other stuff. And there were some definite Reservoir Dogs moments where you guys decapitated Ghoul and the whole nine yards. So then afterwards, we kind of did a little wrap up in the last episode where we talked about what you were all doing. Some of you were in therapy. Some of you were reaching out to your parents and talking with them or having conversations in your dreams with past friends. And we're now going to be starting up a year later. It's been a year since the last operation. For the three of you who are in the last operation, you have back your hit points and your resolve points are back up to full. And you've been working your normal job. Delta Green has not sent a new operation to you. This isn't out of the ordinary. They usually try and put at least, it's like a boxing match. They try to put 6 months to a year between operations so that their agents can recover from whatever happened. So we start the morning off for each of you with a envelope arriving. Inside of it, there is a basic message. It's scant on details, but it basically says that there is an operation starting in Fresno. There has been some strange occurrences in California, and there's a ticket, basically one way. You get the other ticket whenever the mission is done, and you leave tomorrow morning early. Now, what I want to do before we jump into you all arriving, and you're going to be meeting with the handler there face-to-face, which is a bit new. Up to this point, they haven't really been face-to-face, but for some reason, this handler named Agent Jackson wants to meet with you all. So let's find out what you all are doing this day before you leave. Yesenia, what are you doing?
I'm just getting prepared, making sure someone's going to water my plants, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not looking forward to going to Fresno.
Okay.
You know, well, last time I was in Fresno, it was some bad stuff. So nothing good comes out of Fresno, according to Yesenia. Just kidding, Fresno people. It was, you know. She had a Delta Green experience in Fresno that she's just like, okay, back to Fresno.
How's your work going?
My work's been going fine. You know, I just, it's mainly been desk work. You know, I still train and I still keep my physical stuff up. It's mainly been desk work, which has been a nice relief for a while. Just, it's a lot less stressful. And it just gives me time to spend with family and to just regroup. Because that last mission was pretty brutal.
Are you still dealing with any PTSD or anything like that from the last mission? Or do you feel like you're on pretty good footing?
I feel like I'm on pretty good footing because Yesenia has been doing this just long enough to where a lot of stuff, it's not that it doesn't phase her, but she's mentally ready for what you shouldn't be ready for.
Okay.
She's mentally ready for anything that happens. She's like kind of steeled herself.
Right. That makes sense. All right. Let's jump over to Robin. Robin, it's been a year. Now, I actually had a specific question for you. The bugs. You had the jar of metal bugs from the last operation.
Yes. Yes, I did.
What was your plan with those bugs?
I was going to take them and study them as much as I could, maybe recruit someone else that could, more of a, you know, entomologist, seeing as my specialty is on the biology side. But I don't necessarily trust the official channels with them.
Yeah, I understand that. So here's what you found out over a year of studying these things. They are made of some kind of metal. They are living. They are not robots or anything like that. They seem to be some other form of life that is not terrestrial. And when you feed them at least half a pound of food or anything, so trees, meat, whatever, they will duplicate themselves. And so if you feed them enough, they will just keep expanding into more and more. And you have done the calculations. You realize that if they're allowed to eat and just make their way through the planet, it would take them maybe 6 months to a year to render the entire planet devoid of life. It's extremely dangerous. They can't eat through glass or metal or rock. So inorganic stuff they can't eat through. But if they were to get out, even one of them, it would be very bad because they're very hard to kill. Cold slows them down a little bit, but you've tried to heat them up to see if that will kill them. You have to melt them, basically, which is hard to do. And if you don't feed them, they just kind of go dormant until food becomes available. So it almost looks like an environmental weapon of mass destruction.
Okay. Well, now I definitely don't trust the government with them. Well, I know Neha had a really impressive safe collection.
It's like nuclear waste. How would you go about making sure these things weren't going to get out?
I think I've started like researching volcano sites and lava flow and what would be like the most likely to erupt. When can I get there? That kind of thing. I've developed quite the interest in tectonic movement.
Okay, cool. So you're looking for that kind of thing to throw them in the volcano, hopefully rid the world of whatever that, because these are definitely not from this planet, obviously.
Yeah, no. I'm just feel like, I mean, one does not simply walk away with a bunch of world-destroying bugs, but somehow I did.
Yeah, somehow you got them.
Yeah. That's my plan now that I know that, okay, it is difficult to destroy them, but I know extreme heat can.
Right.
That it's time to start figuring out where I can get access to extreme heat.
I'd go into Iceland someday.
Well, it's also, too, like, okay, well, if they get caught in a lava and they're not necessarily all destroyed, then they'll be stuck within inorganic matter, da-da-da.
True. Very true.
Insert science jargon here.
Yeah. Beyond that, how is Robin doing? Do you feel like Robin has recovered from the last operation well? And is she ready for another stint in Delta Green?
I think in a way, because I need this. I need this to be able to like deal with the fallout from the last one. And I also need this because the more I know about what's going on with this official Delta Green or Shadow Delta Green or whatever, the closer we get to, you know, fixing that problem. And what's life without a purpose?
Exactly. Norman, you have been back at the NSA for the past year, back to your normal job, going in, looking through files, looking at stuff that's been, you know, tagged as possibly problematic, looking at people's cell phone messages, and just a lot of sexting. And after a year of kind of snooping on people, how does Norman feel about his job? After doing all this Delta Green stuff, are you still able to handle the 9-to-5 of NSA snooping?
I definitely need to move on. And even before the journey last time, I had feelings about there's no fulfillment here in either career ascending way or in a, I don't know, making the world even remotely safer kind of way. It's become pretty much a jaded experience, or I think he's having a jaded experience at work more days than not, especially if activity has been pretty low-key. Nothing really has spiked, I guess, his radar until now. So everything has just been a little mundane, and also he's a bit of a gray hat. So sometimes going in and doing those somewhat invasive surveillance procedures doesn't bother him that much. He's more into thinking about greater good and using that as his logic for continuing. But without it actually amounting to anything and just seeing how dumb people are on a daily basis, it's a little mind-numbing. Yeah, pretty mind-numbing. He stopped going to his therapist, I believe, probably about a month ago, and he decided that, you know, I feel fine. I'm on a low dose of a decent antidepressant, and that's good enough for me. We'll see if that thought process serves him. But in that kind of state, he thinks that he's absolutely ready for some more excitement and looking for something actually dangerous.
Okay. So, awesome. You answered all my questions in your explanation, which is great. You're kind of ready to go. So you're at your desk and you're looking over this, like, really, it's short. They say you'll be meeting Agent Jackson, probably at a Lenny's, and they don't really go into detail of what the operation is, but you'll be meeting a new teammate as well, who they also don't. They just say a new agent will be joining the three of you to help with backup. The extra set of hands is always helpful, is basically the gist. And you're on your computer and you're looking through a bunch of pictures that have been flagged. And you notice that suddenly three of the pictures just kind of disappear off your screen.
Oh, that is immediately, mildly shocking. He's not a malfagog, but he's like, this computer, I do that. That's what this computer does for other people. What's that? Any other activity, or that's it?
No, it just took down three pictures. If you'd like to make a computer roll and see if you can try to trace what's going on.
Yes, definitely. Because I also know that if it's a picture that was loaded up fully, there'd at least be a cache for the thumbnail at the very least. If not, maybe I can retrieve that. But also, what the heck? Anyway, all right, let's spend a minute. Let me scroll all the way down on my... All right, cool. Computer science was... I invested in that, so I feel confident.
Yeah, you should have a lot in that. That's your wheelhouse.
Knock on wood. Yes. All right. I got a 56 under my 61.
You look through, and a old school DOS window opens up, and it says, "Who's this?"
To me?
Yeah, to you.
Well,
nobody else in the room.
I mean, I guess. That was a genuine... The nerve. I'm going to just type lol, because I didn't... Let's test the temperature of this invasion here. Because it could be somebody pranking me, I guess. We're all on the same network.
And it just responds, "What are you?"
I'll say, "Friend."
With a question mark?
And you notice that because you have on your screen all of these CPU, how fast your computer's running, how what programs are running, all of this, how much memory is being used, just so you can keep an eye on all this kind of stuff. And you see that it goes through and for some reason it finds Microsoft Edge and it opens Microsoft Edge. And you immediately get a little notice that says, do you want to make Microsoft Edge your default program? And it starts spinning through all of these websites really fast, right?
I have like a 90s virus happening.
It's looking up the word friend and going through a bunch of websites really quickly. But it keeps opening tabs up at the top and your memory just crashes and the computer shuts off.
Oh, my God. Norman just rubs his eyes really hard and just leans back. He goes, all right. Well, it's a get up. And I guess let the NSA version of IT guys know that some shenanigans have just happened. Because I'm not going to take the fall for damaged equipment that somebody else clearly in this office set me up for. Yeah, that didn't seem supernatural yet. So I'm just, that's why I'm like, all right, who's messing with me? Stop.
So they go back on, they start it all up. They see the log. They see the fact that stuff had been open, but everything seems to be normal now. Whatever the connection was seems to be severed. So there is definitely a history of Microsoft Edge being open. The three pictures are gone, but you know they were there. And you also have a digital tape backup of what's going on your screen. So you can show that, look, these pictures disappeared. So the IT techs go through and say, all right, we'll monitor what's going on here to see if we get another break. And you fill out a little report.
Yeah. And be like, give me a fresh computer without Microsoft Edge. How the hell are you running that?
I mean, it's impossible. It's there no matter what. You don't want it. It's like chlamydia. I don't know.
Oh my god. God, yeah, we won't even be running Windows and it'll still somehow show up.
It'll show up. Gosh. You're on Linux.
Yeah.
You're on Linux.
Yes. It still like, shows oh, up. Sorry. Good lord. All right. Well.
All right.
Wipe my hands of that nonsense.
Let me jump over to Wanda. Wanda, it's been a year since you were even told you were going to be on a new team, and you honestly forgot that you were going to be doing this because it's been so long, and you've been wrapped up in a lot of cases. Now, you're in the FBI, correct?
Yeah, I'm a special agent and also deal with PR.
Okay. So there has been a lot of things going on that have been kind of a thorn in your side. Right now, the biggest problem is the PR issues with the Republicans have been basically just hammering you all because of the fact that now they're finding all these secret documents or top secret documents that Biden has. And so they're using it as a cudgel against what happened with Trump. And it's this whole fucking nightmare. And you've been kind of dealing with that fallout. And the fact that there are quite a bit of Republicans who are kind of pushing for oversight on the FBI, saying that it's being used as a weapon by Democrats. So it's been a big headache. So when you get a notice that you're going to be going on this particular mission, is it a good thing or are you so entrenched? You're like, wait a minute, I'm still doing all of this.
So leaving a project in progress to go do something else that there's no information on is frustrating, especially considering there was a conversation had about a year ago and it's like, oh, that's right. And, you know, had been very excited about it. And it's like, why now?
Right. Yeah, I could imagine that would probably drive you nuts. Now, for the benefit of the other three agents and the listeners, let's recap kind of who Wanda is and their personality, what you've decided their personality so far is going to be, because I know that can shift as you're playing the character. Tell us a little bit about Wanda.
So Wanda is very, by the numbers, very clean cut, very used to bureaucracy and, you know, working through systems. So they are no stranger to really anything in the FBI because they've kind of been in and done a little bit of it all. If anybody has seen Hot Fuzz, they're sort of like Sergeant Angel, who is just, it's like you're making the rest of us look bad because she's just so on top of things. And that's kind of who she is as a person inside and outside of her job. She lives for her job.
Awesome. All right. So all of you, is there anything in particular any of you want to do before you leave for your trip? Or we're going to fast forward to all of you meeting up in Fresno at the Lenny's. Okay. I love how Lenny's has become our default diner name for all the episodes. And
they have over 3,000 locations nationwide.
And in several different dimensions, because it doesn't even matter what game or system we're playing. There's always a Lenny's somewhere. It's the multi-dimensional restaurant of choice. So,
yeah, but the best one is Lenny's Dimension 342.
Exactly. It's amazing.
Well, that's the original Lenny's.
Yeah.
I kind of look at it as our Waffle House, basically. All right. So you all make it out to Fresno. And would Wanda be waiting, looking for people at the counter or something?
Yeah, and like pissing off the waitress because she's only ordering water because she doesn't trust anyone.
Oh, you're one of those. Okay.
Right. I'm playing the polar opposite of the character I used to play for Delta Green.
I'd like the steak, but without the meat. What? So you're sitting there sipping your water, and these three people come in who obviously know each other. They all arrived in different Ubers, but they're in the little area up front, and you can hear what they're saying, and you're kind of just eavesdropping, correct?
Yeah, I'm just observing right now.
Okay. So what would the three of you say after a year of not being around each other?
I'd be definitely looking at, I mean, both of them got pretty beat up, but yeah, I'd just be like, good to see you two standing still. Or wait, are they
still
sitting
now?
Technically
took no damage during that situation.
At least that you could see.
No, physical harm came to me.
I'd say it's good to be standing. Good to see you both.
Yeah. Looks like you didn't have any lasting, no limp, no mobility's all good.
Totally lucked out. I think I was in good enough shape that the rehab, you know, went smoothly.
And you did the rehab, which, you know, if I could just record you saying that, and then I can give it to the rest of my patients, that'd be much appreciated.
I am happy you're doing good.
I'm happy to see the two of you. You guys good?
Yeah, I mean, life goes on.
Yeah, when there's been some adjustments, but I'd say that overall, solid and ready for something more. I kind of glance around being like, where's the guy?
So in the back, because it's that straight shot, there's tables on all sides, and then the where the counter is, where there's a few people sitting. And what would Wanda be dressed in, by the way, Mac?
Oh, Wanda is definitely like wearing a very nicely tailored suit.
Okay, so there's all of these.
Sticks out.
Yeah, she's the red thumb at the counter. Everybody else is like dressed in like your typical, I'm a trucker and I'm eating breakfast before I head out for another 12 hours of driving. And then you have this really well-dressed woman drinking just water, just sitting there. That kind of is a little weird. And then in the very far back, you see another woman probably in her mid-40s. And when you three come in, she motions to you to come back.
Okay. Well, I guess that's our cue.
All right.
I'm looking at Wanda, just giving her a second glance. Do we make eye contact?
I don't know. Are you looking at your water, pretending to read something while you're listening to them, or are you glancing over at all?
I think I glance over. I think we make eye contact, and Wanda just looks at you. Like, there's no pretense of like, oh no, I got caught looking, I'm gonna look away. Just like, dead ass just looks at you.
I'm gonna take a guess, because I definitely don't know for sure, but I'm like, this is standout behavior. So I just say, you're gonna join us?
Excuse me?
Are you going to join us? You don't have to be, you're with us, right?
She kind of takes in everybody's appearance and is kind of doing the math in her head. Actually, I do believe that's accurate.
That is a good point. Real quick, what is everybody dressed like? I'm just curious, now that we know what Wanda is dressed like. Saint, what does Norman have on?
Norman's got like a kind of, he wanted to blend in, so it's not flannel.
Boob police hat on.
The boob police. yeah, bikini inspector, all that shisa. But yes, I'm wearing like kind of like a military green, semi kind of like maybe canvas rugged jacket. It might be a little too upscale, like it doesn't match perfectly. And then I'm wearing like just dark colored normal pants. Not business pants, not necessarily jeans, maybe some khakis. Sort of khaki, but it's black. Kind of like, oh, if I do need to roll on the ground, I can. Then just like, kind of like clean sneakers, because I have not rolled on the ground yet today. Just this, actually, I keep these pretty nice. Yeah, anyway.
There's a statement. I have not rolled on the ground yet today.
Yeah, I'm just... Everything's clean.
It's good for small victories every day, you know?
Hey.
Right. Robin, what are you dressed like?
I feel like it's like that upper middle class housewife casual.
Karen chic?
Like, Karen yeah, chic. A little bit, but not, no florals.
Right. Pastels, but no florals. Damn it.
Where it's like the pants, like, are a step away from being advertised as yoga pants, and it's still cold, right? So, you know, maybe a long-sleeved Henley to mix it up a little bit. But, yeah, everything's in those muted light blue, but not baby blue. Oh, this one's coral kind
right.
of situation.
Cornflower blue or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. But it's not giving soccer mom. But it could if she needed it to.
Right. The right pair of glasses and you're there. All right. So what is Yesenia dressed in?
Yesenia's dressed in all black, kind of tactical type pants, you know, with the pockets, right? Not full out boots, but, you know, not far off. Like, you know, not full out combat boots, but black shirt, black jacket, like all black, like just... almost looking like tactical gear, but not, you know, just enough to pass for casual, but really she could throw on some body armor any second and look perfectly normal.
Or she could throw on a flannel and get a date.
Exactly.
At the range. I think the important thing also to note is that I am also wearing a very nice pair of running shoes. Broken in, because you never want to be running in your very brand new shoes.
Oh, yeah. And I'm wearing close-fitting cap, you know, those black caps. Yeah, with a ponytail through the back.
Right.
You're just like, I'm not a secret agent, I swear. Like, that's the outfit. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wearing a big sign. This is not a secret agent. No, I'm kidding.
How do you know a Delta Green agent? They all have running shoes on all the time.
Yeah.
We have to get the fuck out of here now. We'll pick back up with Wanda saying, I believe so. I am with you all. You all make your way back to the large booth that Agent Jackson is sitting at. And like I said, she's middle-aged, brown eyes. Her hair is very short, very curly, darker complexion, and has out a few different envelopes in front of her, or files in front of her. And she says, kind of stands up a little bit and shakes each of your hand, introduces herself, and says, it's very nice to meet you all. I wanted to meet you in person after reading the file of what happened in your last operation, so that there's a little bit more of a face-to-face, and you know that I'm going to be here during the operation if there is an issue where you need backup a little bit faster than what was provided for you in your last mission. it's important to me that we get you out a little bit less dinged up than what happened last time. So please sit down. If you wanted to order anything, go ahead and order something. And otherwise, I'll jump into the briefing. Does anybody order anything?
Lumberjack special. Yeah, that's Lenny's famous go-to.
Yeah, that's their...
is the lumberjack.
What's on that special there?
Oh, you know, 2 eggs, 2 bacon, 2 sausage, 4 pancakes, some hash browns, an English muffin.
Copyright. No, just kidding.
You can't sub out the English muffin for whole wheat toast if you were watching that kind of thing.
Yes, you can.
And if you're watching that type of thing, what the fuck are you doing at Lenny's?
And optional grits.
Grits. Sounds like a heart attack. Oh, goodness.
Look. Alvarez trains constantly, so...
I'm going to go for the loaded oatmeal and eyeing those pancakes. I'm going to get a short stack of those as well.
Okay. Norman, are you ordering anything?
You know, I mean, it's Fresno, so outside it smelled like cow poop, and that pretty much finished off the old stomach for today, so I'm just going to get a water. Good. Fresno.
And Wanda, anything you want to order?
Oh, no, I've already had my protein for the morning.
Of course you did. Okay, so as you all... No, it's been a little while. We wanted to let you all have enough time to recoup from this mission. I've been reading through your accounts, and Wanda, welcome. It's nice to have you as part of the team. Wanda is going to be with you from here on out as you do different missions. She is part of the FBI normally, which means she has the ability to make arrests if that is something that needs to happen on a legal level. And she can also do things like obtain warrants and whatever, if warrants are the way you want to go. Don't necessarily need to do warrants.
Yesenia just kind of giggles when she says she has the power to arrest. I'm like, arrest, yeah.
It's good to have if it's something you need in a particular moment. So there's that. Also looking over, you all did a good job with what information and backup you had. So the reason we brought Wanda on was to add an extra layer of backup. And also, like I said, I'm going to be in town providing some logistics for you. If you need me to look something up, if you need me to research something, if you need more people in tactical gear with big guns to go in to some place after you discover what's going on, I can help you with those things. So let's get to the briefing. A few days ago, a person went missing. It was a middle-aged man named Richard Wilcox, and he was at his son's basketball game. And then when he left with his son, they found his car a few miles from the school. Basically, his son was in there asleep, somehow doesn't remember where his dad went, and they've been searching for his dad for the past, 24, 32 hours. Now, this on its own is not something that would call us in, but it is the fourth such disappearance of a local, and that is a big spike for Fresno. Now, I've done some research for you to kind of get you up and going, the similarities between all four. They all have students that are going to Washington Middle School. All of the students are athletes, so they are on different teams. And the disappearances seem to always happen usually between the hours of 7 o'clock at night to midnight, mostly outside of the home. The FBI has been not called in on this because we've kind of dissuaded that. So we think there might be something more going on here. And we want to clear that. Yesenia, yes?
What was the name of the middle school again?
Washington Middle.
Can I verify it's five people have been missing or four?
It's five altogether. Richard was the fifth.
Okay.
Any signs of foul play?
No, they just go missing. Richard was the first that had somebody with him when he disappeared. His car was found by the side of the road. The boy was unconscious, but unharmed. And the son's name was Alex. So that's the information I have right now. We'd like you to investigate the disappearances, talk with some of the people you can out of game real quick. I'm going to let you all decide what your cover is going to be, whether or not you're going to pretend to be FBI agents or whatever, but I'm going to let you all decide that. She goes, so you're going to use your covers to see why this particular school seems to be the epicenter of what's going on and report back. We'll see if this is something that is mundane. Maybe we just call in the FBI after we collect all the evidence. Or if it's something we need to deal with, we will deal with it and then get out.
Has there been any publicity surrounding these disappearances?
We have been able to squash most of it, put it on page 9, and so it hasn't spread. But schools are schools, and parents talk. And so there has been some rumblings about it. We're trying really hard to keep it from hitting the news. That being said, there is a YouTube channel that does a lot of paranormal investigations, and it's called Phantom News. They basically go around the country reporting on strange happenings. They can be an asset because sometimes they capture stuff that can be real helpful. They also can be kind of a pain. They are civilians. They are stumbling into things that maybe they shouldn't stumble into. So be aware that they might pop up and could be a good thing, could be a bad thing, depending on how much of a interaction they have. Okay? Any questions?
Yes. What is the level of aptitude for each of these athletic students? You know, are they the star players of the team or are they the bottom of the barrel players?
You know, to be honest, I didn't look that up. I should have. That's a good question.
Wanda's going to like make a note in her little notebook that she's like scribbling in.
Sure. No, that's a good question.
Are they from different sports?
Yes. And this has happened throughout the last year. So like we had some kids who were in soccer and then other kids who were in the track. Most of them are eighth grade. We had one seventh grader.
Was the seventh grader a bit old for their class?
I think so. I think he was a bit, he was also larger. So I think he might have been in a different sport because of it or in a different level.
Were they all the same age?
Yeah, within 6 months to, you know, maybe 6 months to a year, but all in that pool of between or 11 to 12. That's right, from middle school.
Yeah, for eighth grade.
Were the parents around the same age as each other?
No, they're all different.
Were the parents all the same gender?
No, actually, three women have gone missing and two men.
And do we have the name of the head of the athletic program or something? This will definitely be somebody to talk to.
The head of the athletic department is Hank Taylor, and he has been at the school for 31 years. He's getting close to retirement.
Yeah, I guess
we definitely
him.
Want to see what this aptitude is, if there's any more points of data we can collect to connect these students.
Absolutely. That's why you're here, is to dig deeper than I have with face-to-face interviews and see exactly what's going on and if we need to turn it over to mundane authorities or if we need to deal with it ourselves.
How far are the residences from the school? Are they within a certain radius?
And she pulls out like this printed out map of the area and he goes, no, they seem to be, I mean, they're all within the school district, obviously, but there's no, like, specific distance of how far away they are.
What is the rate of these abductions? If there's a recent one that's just happened, are they spaced evenly or has it been erratic?
It seems to coincide with the whatever sport the child is in at the time. So right now, because it's cold, it's basketball season. And that's what the most recent victim, their child was in basketball. So they're spaced out by a couple of months, a few months, and it's all been within this year. It started right before school year started with the practice of football. They were practicing, getting ready, and one of the mothers, Julia, disappeared.
And in terms of athletic performance, no sudden spikes in wins and all of that other nonsense?
No, there wasn't any spikes in winnings or losings, either way.
Has anything been left behind, or even if there's like a common sensory clue that's been there, a smell even, some sort of weird substances?
Nothing that I can discern. The last gentleman who was taken, like I said, his car was just found with his kid in the back seat unconscious, but there was no residue or smell, or it's almost like they showed up, unlocked his door, and took him and then just disappeared into the night.
Is there any correlation between like what school they were going to be playing?
No.
And then in terms of activity in the school itself, PTA, Athletic Association, the parents?
They seem to be very involved. The PTA is incredibly, incredibly involved.
Were these particular parents incredibly involved?
It seems like yes, they were. Any other questions?
The head of the PTA, perhaps. You have that name?
Her name is Bree Baker. Michelle's laughing because she knows Bree. There is a Bree out there.
Everyone knows Bree.
So I will say at this point, this pretty much exhausts the groundwork that she was able to come up with. But it was a pretty good briefing, so you all have kind of a good idea of where to start. So you all have your breakfast. You get to know Agent Jackson as much as, you know, they'll let you. And we will call this a game. Thank you all so much for playing. The Patreon people know where you're at because they're Patreon people and they wonderfully support us. But what's going on if you want to tell them anything that where they can follow you, other places, things that you're doing, other games you might be in? Let's go ahead and do that real quick. Let's start with Pooja.
Hi. As usual, I mean, if you want to find me on the socials, you know where I am. And I am also playing TTRPGs on Happy Jack's RPG and a kind of special run on Queen's Court Games coming up soon, or possibly depending on when this airs, when that airs, has already happened. Keep your eye out, is what I'm saying.
Well, I guess you probably know where to find me on Twitter, and right now I'm coming off of a break, so I don't have much going on, but that will change, because it has to. So yes, keep an eye out. We'll see what's up. Thank you.
I mean, most people know where to find me, and, honestly, I've been doing a lot of artwork lately, so look for me on my socials. Give me a follow. The support and feedback on that really means a lot to me.
Hey, you know where to find me. I'm Mishulu on most socials. I don't have a whole lot going on outside of this podcast, you know, because I just don't. but I am pretty active on Twitter and Discord. So if you want to have a chit chat, it's a great place to go.
And as you know, I'm Wes Otis. You found us. Thank you so much for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. And we hope that you enjoy this new Delta Green game that we're about to embark on. Thanks so much. And we'll see you next month with more Agents Dossier. Bye, everybody.